So if I was starting today as a new solo, I would
the
do
entrepreneurial
have
aspect.
To change the way they're practicing.
Leader,
analyze.
Said they've done
what
it earlier.
To help young lawyers.
Starting a small firm.
What it means to be fulfilled.
Make it easy to work with your clients.
New approach, new tools, new mindset, new solo.
And it's making that leap, making that leap, making that leap, making that leap.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of New Solo on the Legal Talk Network. I'm Adriana Linares. In last month's episode, you got a lot of me. I know, it may have been too much, but I hope you can stand a little bit more because I decided I liked talking to myself so much in last month's episode that I'm going to do it again this month. But really, I wanted to take this opportunity to follow up on that special episode I did, helping you better understand your Microsoft account types and subscription types, because I get a lot of questions about those. I wanted to follow up on that with some AI tools that are meant to help you with your productivity, your day-to-day stuff that you're doing all day, and probably, maybe, you already have without paying extra, at least for now. So in this episode, I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about the new AI tools that have popped up in Adobe Acrobat, the new AI tools that have popped up in Zoom. And then the third segment, we're just going to talk a little bit more about Copilot, which I did talk about a little bit in last month's episode, but I'm going to bring in a couple of points and special features that you should be looking for if you've subscribed to Microsoft Copilot. Next month, we'll get things back to normal and we'll bring a guest back on. So let's start with Adobe Acrobat. If you're a subscriber of the web paid versions of Adobe Acrobat Pro, or you happen to have the latest version of Acrobat Desktop, you may have noticed an AI assistant has popped open on the right-hand side of a PDF when you open it up. Have you clicked on that? Have you tried it? Because it's actually pretty cool. I've had a couple of attorneys who said to me, you know, I saw it, but I haven't tried it out yet. I suggest you do. So in order to talk about Adobe Acrobat AI assistant, I'm going to tell you a story. My boyfriend and I were driving across America recently, and as an attorney, him, not me, he is, of course, regularly taking phone calls and dealing with clients. And while we were driving, he likes to drive. I'm, you know, co-pilot. Ha ha ha. He had been on the phone with a client who had some questions about an agreement that they had been in with another party. Let's call them party A and B. So he's on the phone with party A. They explain the situation to him, and he hasn't yet seen this agreement, but he had enough information to sort of expect what was going on with the agreement in question. So as we were driving, he said, hey, would you open up my laptop? And we do, of course, travel with an air card, so we always have internet wherever we are. He says, pull up this PDF for me and read me. And as he was starting to tell me what to read to him, of course, all in confidence, don't worry. I said, oh my God, you've got this AI assistant. Let's ask it. He said, what? I said, I don't know. I see this AI assistant. What's your question going to be? Just tell me, but I'm going to type it into this AI assistant, of course, after I had opened up the PDF. He says, well, I want to know what requires party B to pay party A for rent in this agreement. So I pretty much popped that into the AI assistant, and its response came back. And its response came back pretty quickly with the following. This document does not explicitly state that party B is obligated to pay rent. However, it is mentioned in the recital section that party B and party A share contracts and services, including administrative offices. It is also mentioned that the cost of these services are allocated on a case-by-case basis annually as part of the budgeting process. Therefore, it can be inferred that party B is responsible for paying its share of rent for the office space that is used by both party A and party B. If I could have captured his face at that moment as he was driving, which of course he was looking at the road, it would have been awesome because he looked at me and he said, holy shit, that's amazing. Now, in all fairness, he, based on the conversation they were having and the fact that they were even having this conversation, he and the client, he kind of already expected to find exactly what that AI assistant had just told him. It confirmed, and of course, later he went back once we stopped, read the agreement in full, and this time the AI assistant got it really right. It was impressive. And I, of course, was totally impressed and in awe because it was the first time I had noticed that AI assistant and was dying to try it the minute I saw it, as I often do. So I want to tell you, as much as we know right now about the AI assistant in Adobe, how you can get it if you don't have it, and what to look for in the future of it. So first of all, it's available only in English. And I'll tell you from experience myself, you can't have it try to answer questions or help you on documents that have been scanned in and then OCR'd. These have to be pretty clean, sort of original PDFs that were never printed to paper. It may have gone directly from Word or PowerPoint or some other resource right into Acrobat. So they have to be original PDF files. They're available in the latest version of Acrobat Desktop and web paid subscriptions to Acrobat Pro and Standard, and apparently coming soon to Reader. You'll have to let me know if you only have Reader if you see it, but I don't know of an attorney who can get by with just Acrobat Reader. As you all know, I'm a big proponent of having all the tools you need for everything when you need it. And in order to, I think, really use Acrobat well, you need to have the paid version for it. And look, if you're not an Acrobat user, maybe you're using a competitor to Acrobat, same story goes. There's free versions of Nitro and PDF 995. I know a lot of those have changed, but whatever those are, there's free versions and there's paid versions. The paid versions are always going to offer you more. And I'm not sure what any of those tools are offering for AI services, but I guarantee you, if Acrobat is releasing this stuff, your tool will either be releasing it soon or already has as well. So keep an eye out for these types of features in whatever professional PDF manipulation tool you are using. But back to Adobe Acrobat and giving you a couple more tips on this. I want to remind you, it's not supported on mobile devices yet. And a couple of other things to know. The file has to be less than 25 megs in size, should be fewer than about 120 pages. So for a lot of you, I know you have PDFs that are much bigger than that. But hey, we're just getting started here. So let's live with some of these restrictions until they get better. As I mentioned earlier, it can't be scanned or represented as an image, meaning bitmaps and other types of files aren't going to work. Should really be an original straight PDF file. It can't have any security on it, as usual. If there are password protections on a PDF or other security features, you typically can't do much to it. So if those are on there, you either have to remove them or find another file to work with. And it can't be a PDF portfolio. Those are the binders, sort of the collections of PDFs that you might create when you've got a bunch of PDFs that you want to collect into one. You have to have an Acrobat or an Adobe account. You have to be logged in. You should be online. And then, of course, you've got to make sure that the generative AI features are enabled if you meet the subscription or the desktop version requirements that I mentioned above. By the way, they're enabled by default. So if you don't want the AI assistant to be there, you need to go into your settings and turn it off. But you should see it if you have any of the versions that we described above. Once you open a PDF file, you're going to see this bar open up on the right-hand side, and it says AI Assistant up at the top. So over on the right-hand side, under the X where you would close Adobe Acrobat, it's in a red bubble right now, and it literally just says AI Assistant. You can't miss it if you have been updated your desktop version to the latest version of Adobe Acrobat for desktop, and or your subscriptions are updated, which typically they update on their own anyway. When you look at that AI assistant and open it, when you click it open, it might give you some suggested questions like, summarize this document for me. What are the main points in this document? But of course, you can always type your own question, and those questions should be kept at 500 characters or less. Also, one weird thing, you shouldn't have to deal with this, but if it doesn't work, make sure that your language is set to English, because remember, right now it's only working in English. So how does it work? Well, it starts by recommending questions based on the PDF content and answers. So it does a quick analysis of your PDF. And maybe it's not that quick if you've got, you know, the 120-page limit, but it won't take it hours. It'll just take it moments. And then it allows you to interact with the document like you have been if you've tried ChatGPT or if you've tried Perplexity or if you've tried Copilot and Edge. It's pretty much intuitive and conversational, and you just ask it a question, sort of the way my favorite attorney asked me what he wanted to know as a question to the document. Just pretend it's a human. You can also ask it to just give you a summary, get a quick understanding of the contents inside of a long document or a long opinion, a long agreement, and it's going to give you a short overview. Of course, you really should be familiar with the PDF before you trust it. Just keep that in mind. You always have to set your expectations. Much like my favorite attorney knew kind of already what he was expecting to read in this agreement, just based on the conversation with his client. When it gives you responses, it's also going to give you citations. So it's going to say, here are the three main points. It's going to list the first point. It's going to put a little one, as you would expect to see a footnote. Then it's going to allow you to click on that and direct you to the location in the document where it generated that summary from. It's going to have clickable links in some of those answers so you can quickly find what it's referring to. And you can even ask it to consolidate and format the information in like an email. Say, so help me consolidate that information in an email that I can send to my client. Or you could say, give me 6 headings and 2 bullet points under each of those that I could create a presentation for. It has a copy button so that after it does generate something for you, you can copy it into whatever destination you want. I know you're going to ask about privacy, and I'm going to suggest that you go read its terms, but very quickly, here is what they say on one of their websites. AI assistant features in Reader and Acrobat are governed by data security protocols, and no customer document content is stored or used for training without their consent. Take that for what it's worth. Don't forget to go back and listen to an episode from a couple months ago with Daniel Whitehouse, who helped us understand terms of service when it comes to some of these AI tools. Just know what you're getting into. And maybe if you have security concerns and you don't want to ask Adobe AI Assistant, keep in mind that Copilot from Microsoft with its data protection policies might be a better option for you in just opening up the PDF in Edge and interacting with it from over there. I'll discuss that a little bit more when we get to the Copilot discussion at the end of today's podcast. So I'm going to open up Acrobat here and I'm just going to sort of live action, tell you what I'm doing, walk you through just a quick interaction with an AI assistant. So I have a vendor engagement agreement in front of me, one that I signed with a company a while back. When I opened it up, it just says, you know, here's a summary, or I clicked to ask for a summary and it quickly says overview. This document is a vendor engagement agreement between Company A and Adriana Linares for the provision of services by the vendor to the company. I was doing some contracted work for them. Then it gave me some suggestions of questions that I might want to ask. What are the guidelines for pre-approved expenses under this agreement? And it summarizes 4 of those. It says the guideline for pre-approved expenses under this agreement are as follows. And then it's got a little number one. It's got that footnote where I can click on it, which I will. And it takes me directly and highlights the following guidelines shall apply to all pre-approved expenses in the actual document. Then I'll just read 1 or 2 of these to you and sort of describe it again. Number one, vendor shall use best efforts to procure the most economic travel and accommodation arrangements. And I click on the little 2, it jumps me to that segment of the document and it highlights in a purple marquee, a purple outline or blue, exactly where that point is coming from. So then if I move on, I asked it, what's the payment frequency? And it said, the payment frequency for the fee earned is monthly. It's got a little footnote. I click on it and it jumps me to the supplemental terms where it says in the document, on or before the last day of each month, vendor shall submit an invoice to company requesting payment for the fee earned. So I hope that gives you some inspiration to check out the AI assistant in Adobe Acrobat or in whatever PDF manipulation tool you might be using. If you find some cool features or uses, please shoot me an email, let me know so I can tell other listeners about it. Sometimes the stories that I hear from you are the best way of my convincing other attorneys to do or to not do something. So yeah, let me know. Send me an email at newsolo@legaltalknetwork.com if you've got any great stories about this. And listen, I know this technology isn't perfect and you should too. So set your expectations, make sure you review everything you're using this for, where you're putting that output data, that you're double and triple checking so that you don't become another news story about an attorney who did not properly use AI and get embarrassed about it. Okay, couple things to consider with all this. Right now, these services are in beta and they are, quote, free and included with your subscriptions. Sounds like once it's out of beta, it's going to be an add-on that you have to pay extra for, of course. So take advantage of it now so you can decide later if it's going to be worth your money to pay for it. Remember, a lot of these things that we're talking about inside of Adobe Acrobat, you can do inside of Edge or Copilot with Microsoft and PDFs. And like I said, we'll talk about that at the end. I wanted to also let you know the things that they're telling us are coming. As I mentioned, this is in beta. They're going to be constantly developing new tools. So here are the things that we can look forward to according to a press release from Adobe in Acrobat. They're going to allow for insights across multiple documents. So right now it sounds like we can just do, you know, the one document that's open. Later, we're probably going to be able to point at a folder and ask it to review, summarize, analyze a bunch of PDFs inside of a folder. It says AI Assistant will work across multiple documents, types, and sources, instantly surfacing the most important information from all those documents. Sounds like we're going to have some sort of AI-powered authoring, editing, and formatting. It says, AI Assistant will make it simple to quickly generate first drafts and help with copy editing, instantly changing voice and tone, compressing copy length, and suggesting content design and layout. That'll be interesting. So it sounds like you're going to be able to say kind of what I'm doing now with Copilot, which is take the summary of this meeting and turn it into meeting minutes on my letterhead or something like that. Wouldn't that be amazing? And last thing I'll mention, though, they've got a bunch of stuff here. It sounds like you're also going to be able to collaborate on PDFs in the future, just like we do with a lot of Google Docs and Microsoft Docs right now. It sounds like they've got some digital collaboration that they're working on. That's probably going to be in terms of when people suggest changes and highlights and resolving conflicts. So a lot of the review tools that are built into Acrobat right now, sounds like we're going to be able to do that in a little more AI-supported way. Okay, we're back, and I want to talk about Zoom. A lot of you have not noticed some of the new buttons that are at the bottom of the Zoom control panel when you are in charge of a meeting. I'm going to mention a couple of them, but I'm going to focus on specifically what they call the meeting summary. The three new AI tools that I've noticed are Notes, AI Companion, and then the meeting summary, which I'm going to spend the most of our time on during this segment. Let me just mention a couple of quick things. So there's a button that says AI Companion. And when you click on it, over on the right-hand side, it says, welcome to AI Companion. After starting AI Companion, you can ask questions about what was discussed based on a temporary transcript of the meeting. Then underneath that, it says, who can ask questions to the AI Companion? And then you, as the, you know, host or anyone with host rights, can say all participants, only participants from when they join, meaning they can ask questions only from the point of joining the meeting and not when the meeting originally started, so they can't ask questions backwards, or only hosts. You get a little bit of control over it. And they have suggestions like, what were the three main points Bob just mentioned as being relevant to this conversation? You know, you can ask it. It will keep sort of a temporary but updated transcript of the meeting so that you or your meeting attendees can ask questions about what's been happening. The notes button allows you to sort of keep live notes during the meeting, and it syncs it with the conversation. Those are stored after the meeting so that they can be reviewed. So check those out, Notes and the AI Companion. And what I'm going to spend a few more minutes now is talking about the meeting summary, because it has been amazing for me. It is the most wonderful meeting summary tool I think I've ever seen. The truth is I hadn't seen one before anyway, other than some human who has been tasked with sitting there being the secretary or the note taker of a meeting. And that just sounds like torture to me. I would be the absolute worst at that job. You couldn't point at a person at a room with the worst capabilities and ask them to do such a thing. So this meeting summary has been amazing for me. Let me tell you how it works. Once you start a meeting, you're going to see a button at the bottom that says Start Summary. When you click Start Summary, it's going to pop up a message for everyone that's part of the meeting to say that meeting summary is turned on. Kind of like when you click record, it says everybody, just so you know, this meeting's being recorded. Is that okay? It does the same thing. So then it sits there, quietly listens to your whole meeting. And a few minutes after your meeting has ended, you will get an email that says meeting summary for either, you know, meeting name, or in my case, it's usually meeting summary for Adrienne Linares' personal meeting room. Typically, I get this meeting summary within minutes of ending the meeting, but I will say the last time I used this last month, it took hours for the meeting summary to arrive. And I thought I had failed to turn on the meeting summary button. I was pretty bummed, but then it appeared. So I imagine there's some latency just based on usage, time of day, day that you're having the meeting summary turned on. But anyway, it typically comes pretty quickly. So I get these meeting summaries, and I'm going to tell you about the last one that I got. It was a committee meeting. So, you know, keeping in mind, again, your privacy and your confidentiality with your clients, you're always going to pick the right tool for the right reasons. And if you're really concerned about confidentiality and privacy, you're going to probably turn to Microsoft Teams and Copilot with its data protection, commercial data protection policies, and have that as an alternative. But there are certainly going to be times where you can use Zoom's meeting summary. If you're a paid subscriber and you have these features, which everybody does, these are automatic. They all appeared during a Zoom update for us a few months ago, actually. So back to what I get. I get a meeting summary for my personal meeting that has the date. Then it has a quick recap. And let me just read you a little bit of what this recap sounds like. I'm going to, you know, change a few words just to protect the integrity of my meetings. And this is a committee that I volunteer for, so there's certainly nothing confidential or private in here, but interesting. It says, the team discussed changes in hotel services, issues with portal access, the homepage, announcement made on their portal. They also talked about technical aspects of the system, approval process for upcoming webinars, registration numbers, the design of a flyer, webinar recordings, profiles, inaccuracies on the website, and a webinar series, plus a timeline for completing a project. So that's the quick recap. And then under that, it has a summary. It includes headlines. So the summary has, the first paragraph is hotel services, portal access, and meeting minutes. Next heading, technical profile settings discussion. The meeting involved Adriana, so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so, where they discussed technical aspects of the system. Adriana sought approval for the February minutes. There was a round of introductions. Fine. Then we have the next subject line, which is project timeline, webinar planning, and webinar committee. And it says things like, so-and-so volunteered for the webinar committee. They discussed a timeline for completing the project. Adriana and so-and-so suggested a 6-week timeframe rather than 8. That was set by so-and-so. It seemed more realistic and felt the team could actually get things done during that time period. The team agreed to finalize descriptions for the webinar topic. So it gives you a headline and a quick summary. And then this is the most amazing part. At the end, it says next steps, and it actually assigns to-dos and tasks based on people and their names. Now, this is assuming they're logged in with their names, right? So obviously, I'm logged in as Adriana Linares into Zoom. If somebody is dialed in by phone and all you see is the phone number, it's going to display their phone number and not their name. But if everybody's logged into a Zoom account or put their name in when they logged into the Zoom meeting, it's going to say things like this. Adriana will work on the article for such and such. Adriana will create a form based on so-and-so's request for submitting webinar information. So-and-so will check with his marketing contact about the promotion schedule. So-and-so will work on the marketing team to improve the flyer. So-and-so will update the website with current leadership. Adriana will ask so-and-so about a potential link and will follow up with Zoom to ensure the task is added to her to-do list. Well, that doesn't sound right, so I'd have to edit that or just cut it out. So-and-so will invite so-and-so and so-and-so to the next webinar committee meeting, and so-and-so will work on getting a save the date. So it's pretty awesome. So what I do afterwards is I copy this information into a Word document. Then I edit out the stuff I don't need to become part of a meeting summary, or in my case, I'm trying to create meeting minutes to share back with my committee and then get those approved at the next meeting. So I take things out like, so-and-so shared her experience of falling sick after attending a conference at a hotel without room service. It captures these dumb things because, of course, we're also just having a regular conversation sometimes. I edit those out. I just cut them out. I don't spend a lot of time editing the text because it does a really good job. Really, what I'm doing is removing what I don't want to become part of some minutes. And while I'm in Word, then I use Copilot in Word from my meeting summary from Zoom to help me turn this into more formalized meeting minutes. So if you haven't turned on this stuff in Zoom, you don't need to. You just need to make sure that your Zoom client is updated. It's going to work on a Mac or a PC. You know, I haven't looked to see if it's on mobile. So right now, these features are included at no extra charge. I did not see anywhere where on their website and when I went to look at the Zoom features for AI, that they were going to change the fact that it's just baked into your monthly price. So at least for now, anyone with a Zoom subscription that is paid for will have access to all of these AI features. And I strongly suggest you look at them and use them. They can really, really help you. But I will also remind you to think about your privacy and your confidentiality and to pick the right tools at the right time for the right type of meeting or interaction. Let's take one last break, listen to some messages from some sponsors. We're going to talk a little bit about Copilot. All right, we're back. We're going to just talk for a few minutes about Microsoft Copilot, which I mentioned in last month's episode. Back in January, Microsoft removed the 300-seat requirement that you needed in order to be able to add Microsoft Copilot as a subscription service to your Microsoft 365 account so that it would be active inside of Outlook and Word. It's an Excel preview, they call it. So it sounds like it's not fully baked into Excel, but you can do a lot of things. And in PowerPoint, I will tell you, it's absolutely amazing. It's coming to OneDrive, apparently in April. For today, I'm just going to tell you a couple of tips and suggestions for using it if you subscribe to it. Remember, you don't get Copilot inside of Word and inside of Outlook, Excel, and PowerPoint unless you have subscribed and you are paying for Copilot Pro, I think they call it. You can still use Copilot for free inside of Microsoft Edge. So earlier when I mentioned Copilot a couple times and I said you can certainly open a PDF up inside of Edge and interact with it with Copilot, that's actually free. So as long as you have Edge and whether you're a Mac or a PC, you can certainly have and use Edge. I think it's a wonderful browser. It's as good as Chrome. You can open up a PDF over there and interact with it. And also, remember, if you're using a Microsoft 365 work or business account, you do have commercial data protection, wherein Microsoft promises that none of our data leaves our Microsoft tenant. It all stays nice and tucked away inside of our account. So that's Copilot and Edge, but what I really wanted to talk about right now is Copilot inside of Microsoft Word and Outlook. But I'm going to start this segment with a story. I got an email from an attorney who I helped get his Copilot turned on and activated. And we did a little training on it. Just, I gave him some ideas. So I want to read an email that I got from him a few days afterwards. Adriana, I had to email you to thank you for your help. My Copilot will now be known as Adriana. I thought that was funny. Okay, here's what he says. I had to send you an email and tell you it is truly a time saver. I got a 5-page quote summary of tasks from a client. I had asked her that she give me a simple summary of tasks performed, which this was a breach of oral services contract. But instead, I got back a 5-page document from her. I understand from a client's perspective why they want to do that. It helped her process her anger at being stiffed, but for me, it would have been more work, which I had hoped to avoid. So I took her email, I pasted it into Word, and I asked Copilot to make me a list of tasks performed, and it whittled it down to about 25 points in seconds. That's the end of the email, except for one important PS. He said, I reviewed the 5 pages carefully. I'm happy to say the 25 bullet points tracked perfectly. Because we talked about really giving a look to a document so that you know what to expect and you know what you're looking for when you're asking these robots to help you. So as a reminder, the Copilot features that I'm talking about right now are the ones you pay for. Once you have subscribed to Copilot Pro, it's $30 a month per user inside of a business account or a work account, $20 a month if you want it inside of your personal account, but you know how I feel about using your personal accounts for your law firm work. So it opens up. You'll see it appear as a button in the ribbon, on the home ribbon over to the right-hand side. When you click on it, it opens that same bar that you'll start to become familiar with, whether you're in Edge, whether you're in Acrobat, this bar opens up. And then it says, I can chat, respond to your questions, and help you writing and summarizing this document. So now you can interact with the document like you can, as we've said, sort of in natural language, ask it to summarize, ask it to locate information inside of a document. And when you're working inside of Word and this is activated, you'll actually see a little floating Copilot button, which you can interact with. You could ask it to write a draft for a message to a client that includes my thoughts on the following. You can also do that in Outlook, by the way. But here back in Word, you get Copilot as a bar over on the right-hand side where you can ask it to summarize a document. Is there a call to action? What are the 5 points here? Help me write some text. So I encourage you to check it out and to play with it. And then in Outlook, it's very cool. Same things, right? You can ask it to help you draft an email. It has this interesting feature called Coaching by Copilot. This is hilarious. So if you tap out an email and, you know, your brain is on fire and it's angry, and a lot of times we do that, we just feel better venting through our keyboard, but then thinking twice about sending it, right? So let's say you tap out an email like that. You can highlight that text and go to Coaching by Copilot, and it's going to help you tone it down. It's going to say something like, this email is a bit harsh. It might make it harder to create a positive relationship with the recipient. It is hilarious. Look, I can tell you right now, I can think of some attorneys back at my big firm days that I would have loved to have this Coaching by Copilot. But anyway, you probably won't use that too often. You might use the drafting with Copilot. And then one of the things that I really like that it does is it has, let's say you get 20 emails back and forth going, you're working on a deal, you're working on something, and there's 5 parties involved, 20 emails have gone back and forth. There is a summary by Copilot that will appear at the top of that chain of emails where you can ask it to summarize that conversation. Of course, you're going to have gone back and sort of reviewed and make sure that you're caught up, that it didn't miss anything, but it can help you catch up on the gist of long email chains or just a long email in general. Some prompts that you can give Copilot inside of Microsoft 365 and specifically inside of Outlook is, what's the latest from so-and-so based on their emails from the past month? You could ask it to write a follow-up email to such a meeting, group by action items, unresolved issues, and next steps. That works really well, by the way, with Teams. I'm not going to spend too much time talking about Teams because I don't have a lot of experience with Copilot inside of Teams because I don't have a team. I'm just one person. But Copilot inside of Teams is supposed to be and going to become even more powerful. It will do the same meeting summaries that Zoom does. It has transcriptions. It will take that Teams meeting and put it into Stream, which is Microsoft's version of like a Vimeo or a YouTube for your firm's Microsoft 365 account, also known as a tenant. So Stream is another app, another service that you get with your Microsoft 365 subscription. And that's where your meetings that are recorded in Teams end up. And then within Teams and also within Stream, there are some pretty cool AI tools that I suggest you look into and check them out. I can't do it because I don't have a team. Couple more things to think about with Microsoft PowerPoint. If you are creating PowerPoint presentations, you can turn your Word document into a PowerPoint presentation. You just ask Copilot in PowerPoint to turn an existing Word into a fully designed PowerPoint presentation, which I think is amazing. And by the way, it works pretty well. Let me tell you how I use this. I recorded a Microsoft Word training session that I did for a law firm, for them, of course. And then I gave it to them because they paid me and that's part of what they get. But then I took the transcription, I sanitized it a little bit, and I cleaned it up, took out my, you know, when they asked a question, stuff like that. But I had been very careful because I planned to do this in the order of what I was training and very specifically saying, okay, the next topic is going to be, and now we'll talk about. So I consciously sort of set up for doing this. Then I took the transcription and I had it in a Word document, and then I took it over to PowerPoint and I said, create a PowerPoint on top 5 things you should know about Microsoft Word using this transcription. And it did a really good job. I mean, it was amazing. So in Excel, I haven't had a lot of chance to play with it yet, but if you're an Excel user, look for Copilot again, if you're subscribed, and send me some feedback if you've used Copilot or any of these AI tools and have good stories to tell. Tell me your bad stories too. We expect those. You should expect those. These are not, you know, the panacea of productivity. Copilot, you know, it has the name Copilot for a reason. You're still the pilot. You're still in charge. You still have this minion, and I don't ever want to call a Copilot a minion on an airplane. Don't. But you know what I mean? You are in charge, and this is your assistant. It's a productivity tool, all of them designed to help you be more productive and serve your clients better. So please use these tools smartly. All right, everyone. I hope that was helpful. Look forward to hearing from you and your feedback. You can always send an email to NewSolo at LegalTalkNetwork.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next month on New Solo.
I've been running from 9 to 5, been biting my tongue for all this time, won't let anyone cut me short. I was thinking this was the way to go, and you put up your puppet show. I say cheers to